Welcome to the MS Fitness Challenge Podcast, your source of inspiring information concerning multiple sclerosis, fitness, and health. The MS Fitness Challenge provides guidance and support to people living with MS and fitness professionals worldwide on the benefits of exercise, nutrition, and mindset. I'm Maureen Manley, your host, exercise scientist, and director of integrated wellness here at the MS Fitness Challenge. Our special guest today is Nora Jocking. Nora is a writer, runner, and lover of coffee who lives in the great state of Kentucky with her husband and two children. Diagnosed with MS at the age of 35, Nora changed her diet, lost 180 pounds, and became a runner. To date, she has completed 6 half marathons, 1 full marathon, and multiple 5Ks. In an effort to help others diagnosed with MS or facing challenges, Nora created Not Today MS, a blog and podcast to share her story and encourage others to choose joy each and every day. Nora, welcome to the show. It's fantastic to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, you have accomplished so much, and I'm excited to dive into all that you've done in the short amount of time that you've even had the diagnosis of MS. And I thought it'd be interesting to ask you the question about what your life was like before you were diagnosed with MS.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, you know, it was a lot more carefree. Obviously, I didn't have to think about my health quite as much. Maybe that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not right. Sure. But, you know, it was a lot more carefree and didn't really think about things. But yet, I think one of the good things that's come out of the MS diagnosis is that it's given me a really good perspective. Things that I took for granted before, I don't anymore. A day when I feel well and can go on a hike with my family or run a marathon or whatever, all of those things that I've been able to do after diagnosis, they're all the more sweeter because I know what it's like to not be able to walk. Right, and I know what it's like, you know, to wonder if I'm going to live to see tomorrow. And because of that, it's given me a great perspective. Now I have fear for the future, but it, you know, at the same time, I just am thankful for today. So I just try to focus on that.
Right, right. Yeah. Taking things for granted, you know, it's just like living your life, but the perspective of this diagnosis sure changed things about, you know, the sweet spots of really working towards or working for things that we took for granted and how sweet they are. That's right. A great perspective. Thank you for sharing that. So, you know, I'm curious about what you were experiencing before your diagnosis and during your diagnosis.
Sure. I tell people that I was actually kind of blessed in that the fact that I had symptoms for about 18 months before diagnosis. I know a lot of people go years and years of symptoms. For me, the first experience that I had actually sent me to the ER because we thought it was a stroke. It was extreme vertigo and right side numbness and even down to my tongue, slurred speech. And I ended up sleeping the entire weekend and just extreme fatigue. Like you don't know fatigue until you've had MS fatigue. Right. It was out of this world and took me about 2 months to recover. And all the doctors could say at that time was that they thought it was a UTI, which is crazy to think now. But we kind of let that one go and I gradually got better. And then about 18 months later, I had double vision over a weekend and just some dizziness and different things. And I thankfully, between doctors and different things, ended up back at the ER, same ER I'd been at before, and had a different ER doctor who just didn't like the two instances 18 months apart and, you know, sort of tracked it down, consulted neurologist friends and kind of got jumping on my case. And I really appreciated that because it led to, a hospitalization, which led to a diagnosis 2 days later. And again, I know that's silly or it's crazy to say that I feel blessed in that, but I really do because, you know, I have friends that go months and months and months of testing and waiting for results. And I got my answer pretty quick. And so I'm very thankful for that.
Right. Well, I can tell that you're the queen of perspective.
I try to be.
That, you know, the silver lining and you know, a lot of us could be grumpy about just the diagnosis period, but you managed to see the silver lining in it. So awesome for you. Awesome for you. So you obviously made some big decisions about what you could do to improve your health after you learned that you had MS. And what was that journey like to these decisions? And can you tell us a little bit about what you began to do when you first learned you had MS and then how you made some decisions to change some things up?
Sure, absolutely. You know, like most of us that struggle with this disease, that diagnosis was pretty devastating. I mean, you're told you have a lifelong debilitating disease for which there is no cure. That's a hard pill to swallow. And when I received that diagnosis, I obviously started doing research on the best neurologist in my area to go see. And that's something I tell everybody for your listeners, if you're newly diagnosed, MS specialist neurologist, that's where you need to go look for the one that's in your area closest to you. So I started doing that kind of research, but I needed to know more about MS. I didn't know anything. And so I just started doing my homework and, you know, discovered, okay, it's a inflammatory condition of the autoimmune system. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, what causes inflammation in the body? And so fell down that rabbit hole and started doing that research and came up with this list of foods that caused inflammation. And as I'm looking at this list, it was my entire diet. Wow. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. So lots of processed, you know, wheat and, you know, processed carbs and, lots of sugar and, you know, all kinds of things like that. Mm-hmm. Dairy. I loved dairy, things like that. And it was like, okay. And then I looked at foods that were naturally anti-inflammatory and they were things that I never ate, like sweet potatoes, you know, fruits and good fruits with antioxidants and stuff like that were on there. And I did eat fruit, but it was just very eye-opening to me to see, okay, here's a thing that I can do that, you know, I can cut out these foods that are known to be inflammatory inducing, and I can introduce these foods that are naturally anti-inflammatory, and it can only help. I mean, it can't hurt. It was going to, you know, it was going to be changing my diet to where I ate a lot of grass-fed meat, free-range chicken, and then like really healthy fruits and vegetables. I'm like, well, I can't go wrong, you know, with that, you know, you can't go wrong with that. So I did, I started making that switch and in that switch discovered the Whole 30, didn't even know that, you know, at the time that I was doing that research, I'm like, I am on some kind of groundbreaking research. I'm going to write a book. And then I was like, no, there's like a whole bunch of books and already a bunch of people that have done this research for me. Okay, cool. So I found the Whole 30 and started like really adopting that and read a book, from them called It Starts With Food, which is a great read. And just really started changing my diet, just mainly with the goal of helping my brain. I didn't have any other goals. I was 350 pounds at the time and didn't really think about my weight at all. I had struggled with my weight my whole life and counted calories and done different things, but weight had not come off. And I just kind of resigned myself to this is my weight. But as I made these changes, weight just started naturally dropping off my body. I still didn't count a single calorie. I didn't, you know, like watch anything. I just ate when I was hungry, but I ate, you know, within the realm of those foods and I stayed away from sugar and those kind of things, and weight just melted off. So, yeah.
You know, so it's, you make it sound kind of easy.
Oh yeah, it wasn't, that the first goodness, I think I cut it in sessions. Like the first day was, I was like, I'm not going to eat sugar. And the second day was like, okay. And I'm cutting out bread and gluten and all that kind of stuff. And then the third day I was like, and now I'm not going to eat any dairy. And then the fourth day, I sat on my couch and cried, like pregnancy hormones times a million. It was, and that realization that day that I was like, okay, obviously I'm in some kind of weird withdrawal. and this is going to be really hard. And it was, that first month was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. But for the first time, I had a goal outside of, I want to fit into this bathing suit, mm-hmm. or I want to fit into, you know, whatever, a certain size on my pants or a number on a scale. My goal was to heal my brain. Yeah. That was my goal, was to heal my brain, to heal, the, you know, the areas where myelin had been taken away from me. I wanted to heal those nerve pathways. And so, when you have that goal in mind, you can do just about anything.
Oh, that's so great. And thank you for clarifying that. Cause I know it wasn't simple. And the weight, I understand the weight did just start melting off of you. And the interesting thing that is so beautiful in your story that I really love, and I want the listeners to hear what you said so beautifully, is you had a strong why. You knew that, you know, it wasn't about dropping a dress size or something like that. It was about your health, and you were willing to fight for it and to do what it takes without having any idea if it was going to work or not, you know.
Absolutely.
It was gonna make you healthier, and you weren't saying, I'm trying to lose weight here. You're just like, I choose to optimize my health and I'm going for it.
Exactly.
It really is amazing. Congratulations on doing it. This accomplishment is so wonderful. And thank you for sharing the steps that you took.
Sure.
In psychology, we will aspire to what we believe we can achieve. And what you just shared there is you believed you could cut out whatever it was, like sugar one day.
Yeah.
And the next day you went, okay, I did it. Success loves success. And the next day I'm going to cut out dairy. Mm-hmm. And you did it, and you're like, whoa, wow. And your momentum is growing, and you're doing it.
Sure.
it's awesome. So when you decided to do this, to really change up your diet, you know, changing up a diet that you've been following all your life is no small feat. Was your why big enough that you kind of said, I am doing this come heck or high waters? Or were you like, all right, I'm going to take it day by day? Was it a choice or what that you just told yourself, or what really was it, a journey getting there?
I think it was just a day by day decision. I mean, we were, you know, in those early days, and I had a MRI, I was looking at another MRI, you know, coming in 6 months. And I think everything was just, let's take it day by day. Mm-hmm. And that first month getting through those, I mean, it is, if you've ever done any kind of a food detox, you'll know it's brutal, and there are withdrawals and all of that. But on the other side of that, I didn't realize how bad the brain fog was until it was gone. And it was gone. Wow. And I just started to find more clarity, and I started to have more energy. And as we went along, it was like, you know what? I feel so much better. Like, no matter what the MRI says, no matter what happens, you know, in future scans to see if this is working, you know, if this is helping me or not, along with my medicine, like, I'll continue to do this just because of how much better it makes me feel.
Ah, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So it really sounds like it became a lifestyle and not just a diet for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And with that, you're married and you have two kids. And so mm-hmm. did your whole family start following this diet? Did you like, okay,
you know, at the time, go hungry? My husband, is amazing. And if you ever, for any of your listeners, if you go check out my blog, you'll hear a lot about my husband, cause he's awesome. Mm. But he, from day one, when I decided I was going to do this, my line to him in every crazy thing that I've roped him into has always been, here's what I'm doing. You don't have to, like, you get a pass. You don't have to, this is what I'm doing. And every single time he said, no, I'm there. Like, if you're doing it, I'm doing it too. Mm-hmm. So he did the same thing with the diet. And the cool thing for him was, at that time, he was on some hefty heart medication. His blood pressure naturally ran high, and he had tachycardia. And he was able to go off of all medications for a long time. He's had to go back on some of those now a little bit as he's gotten older, but it was amazing that it improved his health as well. It was pretty cool, but yeah, he joined right in. Now my kids, we just cleaned up all of our main recipes. And then, you know, the kids still had rice on the side, or they would still have noodles on the side. You know, if I made spaghetti squash, I would make them regular spaghetti, those kind of things. So, but then they had times, they had seasons where they wanted to try a Whole 30 as well. And so they did, and they joined in and they saw health benefits for themselves too. So for the most part, we all eat relatively clean, but they're not as strict about it as Brian and I are, for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, you do what you can do, and those, you know, what you're adding on their plate doesn't sound awful. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So in following, you're calling it a Whole 30. So is that the Whole 30 diet plan? I guess, can you clarify what Whole 30
is? Sure. Whole 30. If you hadn't asked me her name, I cannot remember what her name is off the top of my head, but Whole30.com, it's, and she's got social media platforms and all of that. It's just a 30-day challenge is what it is. 30-day challenge of cleaning up your eating. It's just eating clean. You're eating things that are few ingredients. You're eating things that are very anti-inflammatory. I mean, like I said, I had kind of looked at doing this kind of thing before I actually found this. And there's lots of other books on anti-inflammatory diets.
Sure.
I just think the Whole 30 makes it easy to follow. So that's usually what I recommend to people. And it's something anybody can try for 30 days. Just try it for 30 days and see if you have health benefits. Their big thing, and again, that book, It Starts With Food, is a great starter for that. But their big thing is that there are foods that we are intolerant to that we don't know that we're intolerant to because we just keep feeding ourselves that, and our body's kind of built up a resistance to it, but then it manifests in other ways, in a food allergy, you know, something, and so a lot of people have done a Whole 30 and seen improvements in all kinds of autoimmune conditions.
That makes sense.
But MS is one of them. If you go to their website and you look at testimonials, there's several, you can go, I think it's Whole 30 A to Z is what it's called, that part of the website. And when you click on that, you can click on several different conditions and you can read testimonials from people who have seen improvement in that condition with that, you know, letter or whatever.
Sure.
So yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Oh man, that's so great. And again, you were on your way. And of course, because you were doing the research and applying the stuff, is you came across this. It didn't just drop on your lap.
Exactly.
You were an active participant in finding it. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, what surprised you most in eating this anti-inflammatory diet during your journey? What was the biggest surprise?
Probably number one, the weight loss, because I did not feel like I was eating any less at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, maybe some days I felt like I was eating more. It was just different foods. So that the weight loss was definitely surprising. I mean, that has plateaued off and I've gained some back as hormones have changed and that kind of stuff. But it's still to this day, I've never been able to maintain, you know, like a lower weight. And that's what this has done for me. It's pretty incredible. But also the energy level and the brain fog, like I said, I mean, that I didn't realize how long I had brain fog until it was gone. And I was like, I don't know that I've ever thought. And I mean, now it's been so long, I can't even remember how bad it felt to have that brain fog, but it was, I had just lived with it for so long. I didn't even know that I was experiencing it until it was gone. So that was probably the most surprising. And that just took about a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's surprising. I can think.
Yes, absolutely.
I can think clearly. And can you remind our listeners again, and it's not like, I get that this wasn't your achievement.
Sure.
But when you say that the weight melted off at the height of your weight loss, how much weight had you lost?
I lost 180 pounds. By the time I ran our first half marathon, I had lost 180 pounds.
180 pounds.
Just, yeah.
And I get when you say just melted away, it's not like a miracle cure, because we get that you had to go through a lot.
Right.
And it was, you know, basically, you know, some withdrawals and stuff like that, but also doing it and committing yourself to doing it without an understanding that you were going to lose weight or that you were going
right.
to, you know, get more energy or have better thinking. It was just going for it. And
right. With the goal of healing my brain. That was the only goal, and making my white blood cells do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
See? And
yeah.
The rest was just
icing on the cake.
Yeah. It's hard to put the words.
Right. Sure.
A blessing to say the least. So you talked about running marathons, and before we get into that, I want to ask you, what did you exercise, or what kind of exercise were you doing before you were diagnosed with MS?
You know, I had done all kinds of things. I had done workout videos and, you know, just walking with friends in the morning and that kind of stuff. I'd always tried to do something active. I really enjoyed activity. But when you weigh 350 pounds, you are susceptible to injury when you start doing activity, any kind of impact activity. And so I had at one point decided that I wanted to run, and I had started Couch to 5K, and I began it just outside, and I gave myself tendonitis in my shin, which I didn't even know you could get, but it was, it was pretty brutal and it hurt really bad. And my doctor at that time said, listen, you have too much weight on you to do this outside on pavement. You got to start on a treadmill. And so I did. And I was able to run up to, I think, 2 miles at that time, but it was just really, it was slow, but I mean, I was running 2 miles, but then it was just hard, and I gave it up. And anyway, so I had done a little bit before diagnosis, but then after I lost, I think in the first year, I lost 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that first year, I met Cheryl Howell, and we can talk about that in a minute. But when I met her, online and heard about her story, it just kind of inspired me to pick up running again. And at that point, having lost 100 pounds, it was considerably easier. I still, you know, started small, doing, you know, run a minute, walk a minute kind of thing, and building up from there. But it was so much easier having lost the weight and having more energy and clarity and all of that kind of stuff.
Sure, sure. So you mentioned Cheryl. So I mean,
yeah.
So is, was she the one that inspired you to start running the 5Ks and longer distances?
Oh yeah, for sure. So Cheryl's story was posted by the National MS Society in October of 2016. She was just beginning, or around that time, the fall of 2016. She was just beginning her journey to do a 7-on-7 and 12, which is 7 marathons, 7 continents in under 12 months. And I had never even heard of that before, let alone, like, she was going to be the first woman with MS to do this, or the first person with MS to do this. Mm-hmm. I just thought, that is incredible. I love that. And I sent her a message. I had been searching for, like, positive MS community. And so she was somebody that had MS, that had a positive outlook, and, like, you know, was doing great things. And so I reached out to her and I just said, hey, you don't have to, you know, I don't expect a response, but you're just really cool. And I like your story. And to my surprise, she responded back and was equally excited to chat with me. And we just began a little pen pal friendship from that point. And she, I thought it was really neat. And that's really when I picked up running, was that fall. Cause I was like, oh, that's cool. Not with any goal in mind other than, you know, if she can do it, I can do it. If she can run, I can run. And then she challenged me in our friendship, January of 2017, she challenged me to train for our first half marathon. And we ran our first one in April of 2017.
Wow. That's
yeah.
So great. Well, Cheryl is so wonderful. She's been on the podcast a couple of podcasts ago. I think it was 23.
Okay.
You want to hear, for our listeners, if you want to hear Cheryl, and you'll see what Nora just shared. She's just the sweetest, warrior you'd ever meet.
Yes, so absolutely.
You know, again, you're researching, and you knew what you were looking for. I want to connect with motivational people. You know, I want to do whatever I can do to stay healthy and well. And so in doing this and meeting Cheryl and getting involved with running, what do you do to stay motivated with your running before you even ran a half marathon and then a marathon? What keeps you motivated to stick to your workout and your dietary changes?
I think, having a goal, like having a race and that kind of thing coming up, you know, 2020 was really rough. Because we didn't have any races. Our team was supposed to get together. We have a running team. We can talk about that more too, but, Cheryl began this running team of MS warriors and MS supporters. And we meet every year in the fall, and do a race together. And we were supposed to meet up in, fall of 2020 in Richmond. And that didn't happen. That got postponed. We were supposed to meet, I'm so sorry, in Indianapolis. And then that got postponed to this year. Mm-hmm. And so, that was a big bummer. And we didn't, our race that we do every spring, we always do the Louisville Derby, mini marathon. That race was virtual. And so it was just a rough year of not having, there's something about that in-person race. Sure. And so for us, that motivation is that, like, as long as we have things that we're working towards, mm-hmm. it keeps us motivated. Cause you know that, that date's written on the calendar and you paid the registration fee or you booked your hotel. So that for us, it's a lot of that. And I want to obviously I'm not going to win any races. I'm not an elite runner. That's okay. But I want to, perform well for myself. Like I want to beat myself, or I want to at least, be in the time that I'm training at. I want to be able to perform at that. And so that's what keeps us motivated. Some seasons are harder. This is a hard one. December is always a hard one for us to stay motivated, but we'll hit, half marathon training pretty hard in January. So, right. But that's usually what keeps us the most motivated is having those races on the calendar.
Yeah. Put it on the calendar and you gotta pull yourself to it. That's
right.
That's great. So tell us about, you're talking about this past really hard year for many of us.
Right.
But going back farther, I believe it was the Detroit Marathon in 2018. Is that your first marathon that you ran?
That is our first and our only to date. But yes, that was, Cheryl had challenged us. That was our first year that our team met to do anything together. And she had challenged me coming into that we had done a couple half marathons at that point. And she said, so I want you to run your first marathon and I want you to run it with me in Detroit. And I was like, okay.
So how'd that feel? You run a half marathon. Did it feel out way outside of your comfort zone, or were you overwhelmed, or did you feel like, yeah, okay.
Well, you put in so much training. A marathon is a completely different animal. We started training for that in June and we ran it October 21st. And it was like a full-time job on top of our full-time jobs. And we were not elite, we're not elite runners. It takes so much time. And as you go into, the later training weeks, you're running 16, 18, 20 miles. That is your whole Saturday, because you're either... You're either getting up and eating and prepping to go, then you're on your run. And then when you're back, it's all about recovery and, you can't plan anything else the rest of the day. So, I mean, every Saturday from June until October was busy. It was a different animal. I'm so glad we did it. But it was brutal. It was brutal for sure.
So besides it being brutal, and of course it's a marathon,
right.
And the first marathon after not having really, you don't have years and years of running in your legs.
Sure.
So how'd you feel about it? You know, besides being physically tired, how'd you feel about you're diagnosed with MS and you complete your first marathon? So what was going on in your head and heart?
Well, we get to, goodness, I think we got to mile 20 and we legit hit the wall, as you do, as most people do. And then we, you know, kept pushing through, kept going, and we were having to walk some because my husband's leg, his knee started acting up. Mm-hmm. We're having to walk, which is discouraging because I wanted to run. I wanted to finish it and be done. and then, I mean, we were at like mile 22 or so. And I remember that's when I started thinking, so where's like the quitter's bus? Like how far away is it? Can I just go ahead and wave the white flag now and hop on it? But we get through that and we get to mile 23, 24. And then it was like, oh, we really are going to do this. Like we really are going to finish. It's amazing. We're going to do this. And, you know, like, I don't know, our fourth or fifth wind kicked in and, we took off and we were running and then passing some people, which makes you feel better, which I know that sounds so mean, but it does when you're running along, when you're running along and you start passing some people, it's sort of a confidence booster. And you're like, okay, I am a runner. I am doing this. This is great. But when we approached the finish line, the song Standing on Top of the World was playing. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. My husband could tell you what band that is, but it's one of his favorite bands. But anyway, that's playing and we're in the last, you know, 0.1 mile. We turn the corner and you can see the finish line. And he took my hand. And the marathon finish photo, which I think I sent you, is one of my favorite photos of all time. Aww. There was just this carnal scream that came from both of us, just in our hands in the air. And we crossed that finish line and it was like this exclamation point on what we had done. We had fought MS together. We had loved each other through it. We had, you know, God throughout the whole thing. And here we were, and we were accomplishing something that less than 0.1% of the population had done. And it was just a really awesome, awesome moment. So it was great when we finished. It was horrible through it. It was fantastic when we crossed the finish line.
Oh, that's great. You tell the story so, so good.
Thanks.
The 20 to 26 is of any marathoner will tell you those miles will test you through. And to complete it like that together is just fantastic. It's just so much joy. Joy in the pain.
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh, man. Wow. So you're continuing to train and meet the obstacles of this funky year. And then part of your funky year, I understand, is that you contracted COVID.
I did.
And how did that affect your training and how is it still affecting your training? Or can you tell us a little bit about
that? Sure, absolutely. So end of October, beginning of November of 2020, I contracted COVID from a coworker. And my symptoms were relatively mild, but right after that, I went through that. Excuse me. Right after that, I went into a breast cancer scare and had to have surgery. And so training really was on the back burner from November through December. And then even into most of January of this year of 2021. And when I picked it back up to get ready for our half marathon in April, my lung endurance was horrible. I didn't realize lung damage that I had from COVID. And I assume that's what it is, that probably combined with just not being able to do anything for a couple months and the surgery too, I'm sure, and being intubated and everything.
Right.
But the combination of all of that, doing any activity, even walking, I found myself really out of breath. So it took, goodness, I mean, up until about 4 or 5 months ago, until I felt like my lung endurance was back to where it was before COVID. But doing much better now and all of that. But it was not fun. Do not recommend.
I bet. Well, you know, like you said, this COVID thing is such a, well, I'll just call it interesting. I mean, it's this awful thing.
Sure.
And, you know, and you said that you, you know, had it mild, or mild right. case of it. And then you kind of have some long hauling effect mm-hmm. or call it long hauler effects of it. And, you know, combined with MS and everything else, it just becomes when everything else in a, you know, breast cancer scare. And, you know, it's just like, wow, okay. Can 2020 get any funkier?
No,
2021,
right.
It just continues.
It, yes.
So, congratulations on the, I'm assuming, good outcome all around.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Good. That was great. We got good news, I think, about a week after that surgery. So yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. All benign, all good. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, what's important, I mean, you know, it cause you're living it, is that, you know, you got this diagnosis and you follow this diet and weight melted away. And things, life continued. It's like,
right.
There's still challenges that you continue to meet all the time. And, you know, the challenge is to continue to shine through it all. And that's what you do. You know, you are making great choices that I hear constantly in the way that's going to help you shine. And with that, it's not surprising that you have a blog and a podcast called Not Today MS. Love that title. Can you share with us why you got that going and just what exactly you're up to with it?
Sure, absolutely. So through meeting Cheryl and starting to run and all of that, we ran a couple half marathons, and I think it was goodness, I can't remember if it was January. I think it was January of 2018 is when I decided that I wanted to do something with the joy that I had found. That I had found joy even in the midst of all of this yuck that we had been through. And I remembered how isolating it felt. That first year after diagnosis was horrible. It was just so isolating. And any Googling I did trying to find a community of other people who had MS, and I'm not saying anything against anyone. I love all people with MS, but for the most part, there's a lot out there that there's just a lot of negativity and people who are just they're very discouraged, obviously, because it's a discouraging disease. It's a sad disease. But everything I found just filled me with fear and despair and hopelessness. And so my husband just kind of cut me off. He's like, so we can Google medical stuff and we can Google like dietary things and all of that. But he's like, stop looking for blogs or people because, you know, it's just making you more sad. And I was like, okay, got it. We'll just do that. But then after meeting Cheryl and finding this running community, I was like, I want to be a part of helping people find people like me, you know, people who are trying to do everything they can health-wise. Yes, bad things happen, but let's try and do what we can positively each and every day, you know, to improve our health. And so that's kind of how it was born. And through that blog, I have had the pleasure of sort of counseling and loving on over 100 people, I think, to date that were newly diagnosed, that we've just kind of sparked up a friendship relationship, and I've gotten to help them, you know, point them in the right direction and help them, you know, find a good doctor and all that kind of stuff. So I love doing that and just to spread hope and be real. I mean, you know, life is not all cherries and sunshine and all of that. So, you know, I am pretty real and authentic on there. I don't sugarcoat things, but yet, you know, I tried to find the joy in everything because there is joy in everything. And we can, you know, have hope even in hopeless moments. So that's kind of the point of it. And then through that, Brian and I just decided to kind of have a podcast. And so he kind of talks about his perspective. And then as well as me and sharing stories, and we've had the opportunity to interview some pretty incredible people who also choose joy and maybe they're facing MS, and a lot of them not, you know, they had their own, you know, difficulty or challenges that they were able to choose joy through So, yeah.
Oh, that's great. And it's like you found Cheryl Heil, who was your inspiration, and
right.
You decided that's the juicy stuff that that I want to spread. And sure. You're like, okay, I want to create more of that. And you know, that's the kind of stuff where the MS Fitness challenge grew from, is just wanting to help people who want to be positive, lean into life. And it's, of course, it's not easy. You can get caught up in the negativity of the awfulness of MS, and it takes application,
right?
You know, fitness mindset and nutrition, and there's things that you need to do in order to live a joyful life. And you're a glowing example of being able to accomplish that with,
thank you.
Yeah. With being transparent about, you know, the challenges, which is fantastic. Fantastic. So I'm curious, what are you looking forward to in 2022? What do you got? In the books?
Yeah. So we're for sure going to run half marathon in April. Again, mm-hmm. We've run the Derby. For anybody that ever shows up, look for me. I'm always in a Not Today MS shirt usually. Yeah. But yeah, we're doing that in April. And then in June, we get to go to Disney. So I'm very excited for Disney and Universal. We're doing kind of an Orlando trip with both my kids and my son's girlfriend. And so that'll be a super fun trip. But yeah, just more of just finding joy as much as we can. And hopefully more of spending time with family. I think that's what we just had Thanksgiving with my family, and it felt normal for the first time, you know, since 2019. So, it was incredible. So I'm hoping to have more moments like that, normal family, everybody together, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, Nora, yeah. Thank you so much for being our guest today. You're such a wonderful fit to the MS Fitness Challenge group. And I'm sure what you've shared is going to help many people here as well. And I will include your Not Today MS in the show notes of this podcast. Mm-hmm. And again, thank you for planting the seeds of joy with us and showing us how to water them so we can have more of that in our lives. So awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. Remember, episodes of the MS Fitness Challenge podcast are available to download on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Simplecast. A great way for you to support the MS Fitness Challenge is by sharing, rating, and reviewing this podcast. The more people we can reach, the more impact we can have. As we close out, remember to visit msfitnesschallenge.com and check out all the fantastic resources that we have for you there. And be sure to get involved with the awesome MS Fitness Challenge Facebook group. To all those listening, to all the MS warriors, thank you for listening. Keep striving, keep believing, and together we can win the fight against MS.